Bring in Mike Johnson. Go ahead, Brian.
Johnny, how would you label Johnny? Do you think he's more likely to be in your group, Bo? Do you think he'd be in the crony cast?
I think he's got his toenails dipped into the former player, and his other five toenails are in with the cronies.
Okay, here's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. How would you feel about being one of Jonas's cronies? How would you feel about that, Johnny?
I enjoy the toenail dripping analogy, which I have not heard before, and I appreciate it. I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think, just describe me perfectly. Like, I am a former player, but I am perhaps a crony. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a blend, which I don't mind one bit. Mm-hmm. I think they should be all in. Absolutely. And I would rarely, you're not going to advocate for doing something foolish, but something aggressive.
What's foolish, Johnny?
What's foolish is trading away a massive package for Patrick Kane. That's foolish. I know Jonas likes him because he's talking about him, but I don't think Patrick Kane, the way he's playing this year, is that. I think you should err on the side of aggression. Err on the side of now and not so much worry about, well, what's that going to be for 3 years from now? Like, it's this year, it's next year. That's it. That's what you got. So if that means Tuffy Niemela, if that means Matthew Nyes, if that means a first-round pick, whatever, to someone who's going to get there, that part I agree with. It's good to help on the depth. I want depth. I want good depth. I want another, third-line winger, whatever. But I want someone who's going to be a difference maker. Timo Meier is a difference maker, right? Like, I don't know how they can afford it. I don't know how the cap, would work itself out. That guy's a difference maker. I pay more for him as opposed to, a second rounder for a depth defenseman. I think they have to be aggressive on the higher end.
Well, considering what we know now in terms of what the Islanders paid for Bo Horvat, and there have been varying reports out there that maybe the Canucks didn't shop that deal around. I can't understand why they wouldn't do that. Like, that makes no sense.
They've done such a great job with everything.
It actually might be consistent with the way they've operated. Also, I think there might be a Lou Lamoriello element to that. If it gets out, we're out. Lou's been known to do that. But whatever the equivalent of that deal is from a Leaf perspective, a first, a prospect, and a player, if that happened and Horvat was a Leaf today, how would you have reacted to that deal?
If that is a first and Matthew Nyes and Alex Kerfoot, I'm okay with that. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would be.
Like, it hurts. Like, I get it. I think I understand it well. Like, you need good young players. You need backfilling from prospects on entry-level deals. Like, you need Matthew Nyes in your lineup. I get it. But what you need more is a series win. Like, you need that more than anything right now if you're Toronto. And it's very, very hard. Tampa's, the second or third or fourth best team in the league. So that's who you're going to be playing in the first round. And I'm not saying Bo Horvat's a perfect player, but he's going to help you have a chance to get over that hump. And I think that's worth rolling the dice for that kind of package. If that's the package that is out there for Horvat, then that's something that I would consider paying.
Yeah, it makes you wonder, like, if that's the who is going to have to be paid, who is going to acquire more assets in terms of the individual player? Like, you mentioned Kane. I think Chicago gets less than what Vancouver got, likely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because of it, he's got a $10.5 million cap hit. He's older.
He's a winger.
He's a winger, exactly. Like Timo Meier, Ryan O'Reilly, like, do those guys, do you have to pay more or less than what the Islanders paid to get Horvat?
I think Ryan O'Reilly's less. Older, again, not having as good of a year. Horvat's having a career year. O'Reilly's having his worst year in the last six or seven. So I think that would factor into it. Meier, I think, is probably similar. Like, Meier is about as good as a winger as you're going to be able to acquire at this point in the season. I think New Jersey's going to get him. Like, I think all the Swiss players in Jersey are just in his ear all day long. Mm. They're in Tom Fitzgerald's ear saying, let's go. If they got Heischer there and Siegerthaler there. Like, I think it'd be a natural fit there. But, yeah, I think that. And the one guy that I haven't heard anything about, and I'm not here to start rumors. Maybe I will.
Yeah.
Dylan Larkin is the pending UFA.
Mm.
I would pay more for Dylan Larkin than Bo Horvat.
Really?
What reason? Yeah. For what reason? We're getting into it now. For what reason?
Because Dylan Larkin can play defense. Four Harvard caps is not a good defensive player.
Oh. Yeah.
Doesn't the offense make you kind of close your eyes towards that, or no?
No, not to the degree. Like, Bo Horvat's good at a lot of things, and I want him on my team, but he's good on faceoffs, but he's not a great defensive player. Dylan Larkin does a little bit of everything and consistently has put up more offense than Bo Horvat, to be quite frank with you.
I got to be honest with you, Johnny. I'm going to warn you. This is the first time I've ever heard you bring up a guy being poor defensively and actually caring about it.
That's not true at all, that is, you're cherry-picking that. Absolutely not true. He is not, yeah, like, if you're talking about which guy I'd rather have, I'd take the guy who's a more of a two-way guy. And you also got to consider, on Toronto, Bo Horvat, I don't know if he muscles his way into the power play. Does he? I don't know. Like, if everyone's healthy, like, do they go five forwards and Bo Horvat? Do they go Morgan Rielly in the big four and Bo's the second? I don't know, because in that sense, maybe they don't need that uniquely high-end skill of him being on the power play that they kind of already have. But I think Dylan Larkin, if I'm league-wide, if I'm Carolina, if I'm Colorado, if I'm any of those teams that want like a massive upgrade, I don't even know if Dylan Larkin's available, but if he would be, he's a captain who's an unrestricted free agent in a couple of months, whose team's got to miss the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's
what does he want?
Old guys. Well,
is it one of those scenarios where he wants 9.5 and they don't want to give it to him? They're like, you haven't really...
Yeah, probably. But that's not my problem. I'm getting him to be a rental, right? Like I'm getting the rental. I'm going to pay the rental fee, and I'm not going to worry about not being able to afford him because he makes six now, so I can probably absorb that somehow. But you'd assume if he wanted a team friendly kind of deal, he would sign it. Like, he's a very good player. There's obviously a disconnect there that hasn't gotten it done yet between him and Steve Yzerman. And Steve Yzerman has been known to hold the line. Like, if he thinks you're worth seven, and you think you're worth 8.5, like, chances are the contract you sign at the end is going to be closer to 7.
That's the disconnect, right? Johnny.
Like,
I view him as like a top-end player, but if you kind of dig into the numbers, he doesn't put up like big-boy numbers. And I know the team hasn't been very good, but it's difficult to ask for big-boy money when you don't have big-boy numbers. That's just a simple fact.
True. What's he topped out at? 78 points or something? 73 points? Like, something around a point a game. Mm-hmm. That's kind of been his best. A lot of 60-point games. He carries a lot for that team. Doesn't have a ton of support in and around him. I think he's... If he was available, he'd be the centerman I'd want to get them.
Yeah, like, this year he's got 15 goals, 43 points in 47 games. You know, like, he's a really good player. And he's in his prime, and... You know what the question with him is, you have no playoff experience to go on. And I'm curious how you feel Dubas would react to that. In other words, everything you said about Kane is factually correct, but also what has to be included is this dude is a stud in the playoffs. Like, that's his reputation.
Ryan O'Reilly,
and he deserves it because he's earned it. Dylan Larkin, yep. I don't know what he is in the playoffs. Like, does that even come up in terms of trying to evaluate what you're getting and what you're willing to pay for it?
I guess it has to, right? Like, it's got to be part of the equation. Whatever, however much you want to weight it, I guess is kind of up to you, but you can't act like it doesn't exist. All things being equal, I want the guy who's been in the playoffs who's done it than the guy who hasn't. But again, like, I'd rather just the better player. Like, going back to the different kind of players, different kind of conversation, but, you know, Nick Foligno was like a playoff kind of guy. Taylor Hall was not a guy with a lot of playoff success. I would have rather had Taylor Hall and taken my chances. Easy to say in retrospect because they didn't win. Had they won with Nick Foligno scoring a big goal in Game 7, it all would have been different. But, yeah, it's part of it. But I guess if I like the player, if I believe, you know, he's quality, I think that the moment or the playoffs or whatever, you know, how the game changes wouldn't be a problem for him. If I'm going to go pay the kind of assets it would take to go get a player like that.
With Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, do you see a situation between now and the trade deadline where the Maple Leafs decide they've got to get an NHL-caliber goaltender as a third-string guy that could be a tandem guy, effectively, if Matt Murray is not available to play?
If Matt Murray's ankle gets to the point where, like, he's not going to play the rest of the year, sure, they'll take that money. they'll use it to get a defenseman and a $2 million goaltender and probably be really okay with that kind of transaction. But as long as Matt Murray's around, I don't think they go get, you know, Anton Hudobin as an insurance policy or Craig Anderson or, you know, like somebody like that, maybe a lower paid guy. You know, if you get down to your third string, maybe it'd be the second string if Matt Murray can't be healthy, you're going to be in trouble anyway, given the quality of the competition they're going up against. So, I think it's low on the priority list, I would imagine, is my hunch. I don't know. Like, do you think that's a priority for them to go get something like that?
Well, I mean, again, this is where they're in somewhat of a bind with the uncertainty of if Murray's just out for a few weeks, then you're not going to do anything. Like, if he's available to play, then I think they're hamstrung there because it's $4.7 million on the cap. And
he's,
you know, he's here next year, too. But if there's any uncertainty there...
But what if it's not like someone you... Like, what if it's just like an experienced...
It's David Riddick again.
Yeah.
But I feel like they felt like that was a mistake.
Yeah.
They gave up a third-round pick for a guy that didn't play, and they left in the first round. You know, it's... It's not ideal.
David Riddick, like, is there a guy of that price range and that ilk that you would like, oh, well, if we get to him, we'll be okay in the playoffs against Tampa and Vasilevsky? That guy probably doesn't really exist for the cost that it's going to take Toronto to get him. Right? So you're basically saying, yeah, we get insurance policy. It's a depth guy. It's Phoenix Copley. Phoenix Copley's had a good run
right
this year in L.A. Like, if Phoenix Copley's playing game three because Samsonov got ran over and Murray's ankle's no good, you're not going to win the series. Very unlikely to win
trouble.
The series anyways.
You're in trouble. That's what I said the same thing with the Riddick acquisition. I'm like, if it gets to a point where you got to play him, you're screwed anyway.
Put Wall in the net.
Exactly. That's why I think from that, like, unless Murray is out, but if there's any chance Murray's around, they're not going to do it. I can't imagine they will.
No, very good. I mean, I think maybe a top six winger if they can get one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's a third line guy. Like, he's like, you know, pretty good. Not just like a checker, but like a pretty good player. Maybe it's a depth defenseman. And that's it. Like, they're going to spend big on trying to get that forward, I think. I don't think there's a defenseman out there that's available. You know, we have Matt Dumba or, like, Gavrikov, who I like.
McCabe, you know, in Chicago is a name that keeps coming up.
Yeah. Right. Is he going to play Scott Mayfield in the Island? Maybe the Islanders are in it now. But, like, are those guys going to be much better than Justin Hall at this point? Are they going to be better than Timothy Liljegren?
That's where you side with the cronies, Mike, actually. The cronies are with you.
Dip a toe.
I'm not with you on that. I actually disagree.
Dip a toe.
I disagree. But Mike, can I ask you about Matthew Nyes? Because I think you're looking for a different type of defenseman than those guys. I don't know if you. I know how you feel about this. You don't think that they should. But that's not what I wanted to ask you.
What do you want? You want to go get a big rugged defenseman?
I like Gavrikov.
Like, we know you and your cronies don't like big, rugged defensemen. It's against the crony beliefs.
I'm not with the cronies on this one. I like the big, rugged defenseman in the past.
Okay.
But I was wondering about...
I just said I like Gavrikov, but like, who's a big, rugged defenseman? We'll get to Matthew Nyes in a second. Who's a big, rugged defenseman, and who is he going to play ahead of?
Well, Gavrikov would play ahead of some of the guys that they have, no?
Yes.
One thing,
especially if you're paying a premium, it'd be better.
I'm asking you. Tell me his name. Who's he playing ahead of?
It's Justin Hall.
He's playing. No, he's playing. He's a lefty. He would play ahead of Giordano. He would push Giordano.
No, he's not.
No. I'm not saying he pushed Giordano out of the line.
Sandin is the answer. Yes. Yeah, from that standpoint, you're probably right. You're probably right.
I don't have a problem with that. Do you guys?
No, I wouldn't. If you can upgrade on him, go for it.
I would worry about if I were them, Mike, and maybe you can chime in, and then we can get to Nyes. I don't know if I love the idea of Mark Giordano playing 22 minutes every night in the playoffs, every other night against top lines. Like, he's been excellent.
Yeah.
That feels like it's asking a lot to me.
Yeah. Now, I mean, you would know, Jones. Like, what does Gavrikov's results look like when he plays against top lines?
Well, some of those numbers are not great this year.
He plays on a bad team.
What do you... I don't know. Those numbers on a bad team?
I started this whole conversation with, I like Gavrikov.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I think like he would be a good guy to go get. I just don't know if you dump him right in ahead of any of those guys. It might be platoon. It might be insurance. Because, you know, he's not a perfect player. And you're right. Some of his numbers are skewed because of the team he plays on. But I don't mind that, but I just don't think like a dynamic, impactful defenseman
doesn't exist.
The menu because they don't exist.
Yeah. Okay. What's your Matthew Nyes?
I just want to know, like, Mike made the jump from college. Like, there's this perception that, oh, he can just jump right in and play in the NHL. And I kind of think that that is a bigger jump than maybe is understood. Like, what do you think about that?
Mm-hmm. So, I don't, the jump is going to be what it's going to be. Guys have done it and made it look seamless. Talk to Cale Makar. Now, he's an incredible player. And other guys who look like Jimmy Vesey won the Hobey Baker, and he's had a nice NHL career, but he's not been an impactful player wherever he goes. My concern with Matthew Nyes, like, you like the frame, the attitude, the physicality. So he's, from my estimation, when I've seen him at the juniors and at the Worlds and Olympic, when I've seen him play, he's not the fastest. So if you're, one of your primary assets is that you're stronger than everybody else, well, when you get to the NHL, you're not going to be stronger than everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's going to be as strong as you, virtually. So that's going to really hurt you in being effective right away. You kind of worry about like, junior kids who are kind of big monsters over other... You know, like, it's just... That advantage goes away. Can he skate well enough to be... He'll be an NHL player, but to be an instant, impactful player? I do not know. And, like, I look at... I know college has gone a little bit different, and it's not about me at all, but, like, I look at Kyle Connor. He played 1 year of college. He had 85 points or 82 points. Come look it up. 35 goals, 45 assists. Yeah. Matthew Nyes is in his second year of school. He's like a point a game player, maybe a bit more. So like, there's a difference between getting 45 points in 35 games and 80 points in 35 games when it comes to what kind of impact that guy would likely have in the NHL. So he could play in the NHL because he's big enough and strong enough. But if he's going to be like a point producer in the NHL, I'm not willing to say that's a slam dunk.
But I also mean, so, Mike, like, from what he I would think, be stepping in, like, in a playoff series against Tampa, in theory. Like,
Tampa?
That, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, that's tough.
Like, I mean, I played college on Friday. I played against Tampa, of all teams, on Sunday. Now, they were terrible. The Leafs were terrible. There was no pressure whatsoever. And it was okay for me. I was also 22, having played, gone to grade 13 in high school, and played a full 4 years of school. And, you know, I had 60-something points in my last year of college. And I was like, you know, I felt like I was maybe more prepared to play. So, yeah, to jump into that, try to make that transition, like, on those stakes, with this, like, the stakes for this team this year, that's a big ask. That's a big ask. And you don't really have time to figure it out, because by the time he finishes his college season, he'll play a couple of rounds in the NCAA at least. It's going to be almost the end of the season. So you don't have a chance to kind of let him play for a month and figure out if he's going to be able to help you. He's just got to be able to help you.
Yeah, that's asking a lot. I mean, he could be an option if there's injuries, you know, if he'll be around. Sure. He'll be a black ace or whatever if he signs.
There's just this idea that they can just pencil in a spot for him, and I just don't believe that.
No, and I don't think the Leafs believe that either. I mean, he's got to show up and be ready to play. He's got to prove that he can do it. And moving on a chugging train here going up against a monster in Tampa. I mean, there's a lot of different details that I think need to be considered on that front.
I just will add to it, he's a pretty good player. Like, there is a chance that he's good enough where he does jump on a moving train and he could have an effect. That might be kind of wishing or hoping, but he is a pretty good player.
It'd be a bonus. I think that's the point. It would be a bonus.
My point is Jonas is talking like him and his cronies don't have a belief that that could happen.
Actually, you're with the cronies on this one. So
it's tough to really track where the cronies are at. The cronies? No, he's not a crony. He has cronies. You can't be a crony. I guess you. I don't know. It's confusing.
The leader
man.
Of the cronies.
Yeah, you're.
Well, that's the first time, Hayes, we've seen crony fighting. Jonas and Johnny were fighting. inner crony fighting.
Yeah.
It sounds like crony just means smart.
No. Crony on crony violence. It is a shame to see that.
Crony on crony violence.
Yeah, we got to get John Torrey on that. This cannot continue. Crony on crony violence. We can't have it. All right, Johnny. Thank you, pal. We'll do it again soon.
All right, boys. Have a good one.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Build your next dream Toyota at Maple Toyota and check out Maple Toyota's pre-owned inventory arriving daily. It's time to Toyota. Visit MapleToyota.com. Yeah, the crony quiz is forthcoming, mm-hmm. right? You're working on that. We got Marcellus Wiley coming up. There's a dueling report here, like Ian Rappaport and Adam Schefter are the two biggest insiders in the NFL.
Are they going at it?
They're going at it in terms of the details of the reporting on this Sean Payton, D'Amico Ryan situation, which means one of them is covering for someone.
So is Schefter saying that
Schefter is saying
true?
It's completely coincidental. D'Amico Ryans was going to Houston. Sean Payton and the Broncos have been, and Rappaport is claiming today Denver was trying to get Ryans. And then they, like, that's a big separation between two monster insiders. Like, who is carrying water for who?
Payton might be in Schefter's back pocket saying, can you smooth this up?
Yeah, or like Denver. John Elway in Denver say, hey, you got to help this out, man. This looks brutal that Rappaport just dropped this bomb.
Yeah.
Because that's the inner workings of, you know, you got connections, you got sources. Sometimes you got to land a mat. You got to make sure people, you know, you got to hook them up so that you get hooked up with the information, because Schefter broke the news.
Yeah.
That leads me to believe Schefter was like, I got the news. Now you got to go over the top and hook us up here and make sure Sean Payton feels welcome. So more on that with Marcellus Wiley still to come. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.